习惯的 Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada ki Shri Premnath Nityananda Guru ki Shri Prem Purushottam Sachinanda Narayana ki Shri Madhujarasada Maiti Murti Mahabhadrakash Jagannath Swami ki Shri Jagannath Shri Babadev Shri Mati Subhati Mai Shri Darshan Guru ki Shimaya Purnada Vidam Gita Shipurushottam Gita Vipalamba Gita Jagannath Vidam Gita Gopreema Krishnaya, Krishna Bhaktaya, Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha, Nilachala Nibhasaya, Nityaya Paramatmane, Balabhadra Subhadrabhyam, Sri Jagannathaya Te Namaha, Kadachit kalindita tavipina sangita karavo Mudabiri narivadana kamalaspada madupa Rama shambhu brahma marapati ganesha chitapado Jagannatha swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me 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 Shri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunathapta Brajabala Bapahima Pancha Kopadarubhischa Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So first of all, I'd like to request everyone if you can come close, because this is a family and we want to be friends. I promise I took a bath this morning. You didn't have to be too shy. So yesterday was Rath Yatra in Bern, and good fortune didn't arise upon me to be able to go there. We had some quiet time with some special friends instead. But we thought today we'd try to say a little something about Rath Yatra. So all of you are devotees for many years. Raise your hand. Have any of you been to Jagannath Puri before? Okay. How many of you have been inside the temple in Puri? Raise your hand. Okay, one of us, very good. Is there anybody here who would like to be able to go inside the temple in Puri? So, a very pertinent question comes at this point. How is he Jagannath? Jagannath means the Lord of the universe. How is he Patit Pavan, the savior of the fallen? It's not true. It's a lie. We should send a letter to the Arisan government and sign a petition and tell them you have to change his name. He's not Jagannath, he's Purinath. He's Oriyanath, He's Pandanath. He's Deshinath, the lord of the people of Orissa, or Jagannath Puri, or the Pandas, or the local people in India. He's not Patipavan. He's Deshipavan. He's only the deliverer of those persons who live in India. And we're all out of luck. Does this make sense to you? Do you like this idea, Prabhuji? No?
Yes.
I'd like to ask all of you, it's an interesting thing to me. How do you deal with this? We don't have a lot of time, but I just want to meet. What do you think? How is it that he's supposed to be God? He's still supposed to be our dear friend and the savior of all of us, but we're not allowed inside. How do you think of that?
I mean, he said Srila Prabhupada to us, and Prabhupada brought him to us.
Yes.
So
that's a very nice
right here.
Yes.
So
he's Patipavan in that way. He came to Srila Prabhupada. That's a nice comment.
Prabhupada brought it to the West.
Yes.
He's not the Yati all over the world, so.
Yes. So he's, we've made him Jagannath.
No, he's Jagannath.
Right. That's a nice comment. Yeah, how does anybody else? This is a very real thing. I mean, come on, we're worshipping this personality and we go there and you're just standing in the street feeling like a dog, or less than a dog. Probably some of the dogs can sneak inside the temple, but we can't go inside. The ghosts can go inside the temple, but we're not allowed inside. We're less than the ghosts. How do you feel about this, Keshav?
I think Abhidhas Thakur didn't go inside too. Mm-hmm. Or Sanatana Goswami.
Right.
So we follow in their footsteps.
Very good. That's a nice way to look at it too. If they're not going inside, so we're in their footsteps. We're in good company. Mm-hmm. We don't do that either. Anybody else have any other thoughts, Manuji? Vira Pujari, it's good to hear from you.
Sorry?
Vira Pujari, it's good to hear from you.
No, I feel like also, I try to feel like Rasikacharya, but not normally when
we should all try to feel like Rasikacharya.
Yeah. But inside is like a fight, no? One side I feel very sad and very frustrated, no?
Yes.
And I for already long time I'm not going to Puri because of that. Because I feel like like less than a dog, no? Like you say.
Yeah, we feel very good. Prabhuji.
I was just thinking about this verse in the third canto, Ahopa Tasvapa Chitoya, Achiva Kayavada.
You explain?
That even when how glorious a day whose tongues are chanting the holy names of your lordship, even if born in the family of dog eaters, if they once chant the holy name of your lordship, hear about him, worship him, they immediately become eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. And then to chant holy names of your lordship, they must bathe at holy place of pilgrimage, study the Vedas, and fulfill everything required. They must have achieved all the manners, good manners of the Aryans. So,
so how is this verse relevant for us then?
Because it means that they say we are not Brahmanas, but actually one who's chanted the holy name once, he's immediately eligible to perform it in sacrifice. So that means he must be a Brahman.
He must be more than a Brahman.
Yeah, more.
Okay. Anything else? Mataji, what do you think about this?
Do we
all have to take birth in an Indian body in our next life? We can become like you, we can go inside?
No, I don't think it's fair, but then when I went inside, I mean, I don't speak Hindi nor Bengali or listen language, so I was just very lucky that I could go in. And then I was there, I was actually expecting...
You were a secret agent, a spy.
I was expecting, like, okay, so now I'm in, and now... And then I was standing in front of Jagannath, and it was so crowded, and everybody was... You could, like, only stand for, like, maybe 2 or 3 seconds, otherwise people would push you, it's really heavy. And then I had darshan, and then I was thinking about Mayapur, because... and Jagannath in Mayapur.
Mm-hmm.
And I was feeling like there was absolutely no difference between the Jagannath in Mayapur and the Jagannath here. And I actually felt like I wanted to be with the Jagannath in Mayapur. Like I had this strong feeling, like the same feeling, for me it's exactly the same. So that Jagannath is no different from the other Jagannaths, and that's how I feel.
Very good. It's the same, but there's also a difference. In Mayapur we can go in the temple. So how do we understand this? I can tell you very frankly, I've been living in Puri now for, gosh, over 20 years in Orissa. And I know pandas, what to speak of other people who eat chicken and fish, and they allow them inside the temple. Now, the Western devotees are very strict vegetarians, and they're chanting and things, and they're not allowed inside. Devotees feel hurt sometimes, especially if someone's a pujari. I was a pujari for a long time, Jagannath, in Los Angeles, other places, and you feel hurt when you go there. It's a kind of rape or something. It really hurts your heart very deeply. So how do we understand this? Sometimes devotees, they get angry at the pandas, or they want to get on television, tell them something. But after a lot of contemplation on this thing and some deep reading of our Goswami Granthas and some of the local traditions in Orissa, I've come to a different conclusion. There's no reason to blame the pandas. It's not their fault. Rather, we should blame Jagannath. It's his fault. Because otherwise he's not really Jagannath. If you blame the pandas, then indirectly you're saying you people are more powerful than Jagannath. You're controlling him, isn't it? You can't say that. It must be coming from Jagannath. But now if I tell you that, then you're going to feel very bad. If I tell you you can't go to see him because the chokidar, the guard in the doorway, doesn't allow you in, you feel a little sad. But if I tell you the person inside doesn't want you in, then you feel very hurt. So this is a very important topic, and it's a topic that we should understand deeply in our movement. There are two ways to understand something. We can understand a bahiranga karan or an antaranga karan, an external reason or an internal reason. And Srila Prabhupada and our devotees have dealt with this topic both in an external way and in an internal way. When Srila Prabhupada visited Jagannath Puri in January of 1977, he was requested to give a lecture to a group of pandas to present a new book on Jagannath that one of the pandas wrote. And Prabhupada accepted. But much to the disconcertment of the panda, Prabhupada didn't speak about his book. He just started chastising them. Why you don't allow the Western devotees inside? This is an aparad. This is wrong. Prabhupada was very angry about it. And that's, I would suggest, is an external thought about it. But Srila Prabhupada also privately, he told devotees, anyway, you tolerate. You be patient, like Prabhuji is saying. Haridas Thakur is there. And many different Vaishnavas are there. So we can look at it both externally and internally. Externally, Srila Prabhupada taught us the devotees should be allowed inside the temple. And he was very indignant, very angry about that, and very insistent that this is a wrong policy and they should allow the Western devotees inside. So we can't neglect that instruction from Srila Prabhupada. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada taught us personally, practically, be patient, be tolerant. Something I would suggest is a more internal outlook. So there are many different ways we can understand this phenomenon. I'd like to speak something to you today which is based upon the spirit of my revered spiritual master and some things that we've heard from him. He often liked to speak to us about Jagannath Puri, and he told us that Jagannath Puri is Vipralamba Ketra, or the place of separation. And after coming to know a little something about Jagannath, the deities there, and situation in that dham, I've come to find out that we're not the only ones who are locked out. So I'd like to tell you a few stories today, which you may get some inspiration from, I hope. There is a Stala Purana in Orissa. Stala Puranas are subsidiary Vedic literatures, which often are used to describe the glories of a particular dham. Or as in the case of the Niladri Mahodaya, another Stala Purana in Orissa, it contains the prescription of worship of Lord Jagannath. That's the primary book they use for the rituals and ceremonies in Jagannath Mandir. Another Purana there is called the Lakshmi Purana. Because the Jagannath Mandir is the Sri Mandir. It's the temple of Lakshmi Devi. That's where Lakshmi is in charge of the worship of Jagannath. So in that Sri, in that Lakshmi Purana, there's a story that every year during the month of Magh, on the Thursday of each week, the people of Orissa, they do a special worship of Lakshmi Devi. And they clean their house very nicely. You may have seen, they'll take some rice flour and mix it with some water, and they'll draw footprints walking into their house because they want to invite Lakshmi Devi in their house. Everybody is very eager to invite Lakshmi in their house. And they do some nice worship. They offer fruits and different things to her. So there was one Chandalini. And this Chandalini, it means a low-class person who's not allowed in the temple, like us. She had so much devotion for Lakshmi. And she was worshipping Lakshmi Devi so nicely. Lakshmi became so inspired, and she decided, I must go personally and give her my darshan. So Lakshmi Devi came outside the temple and went to see that Chandalini. And meanwhile, Krishna Kum, do you have a cell phone with you? Do you have a cell phone? You turn it off and give it to me. Meanwhile, inside the Jagannath Mandir, she was gone for some time, and Balaram, he asked Jagannath, hey, Kaliya, Kaliya means the black one, it's a name for Jagannath, hey, Kaliya, where is your wife? And Jagannath, he said, oh, she went outside to give some ashirvad, some blessing to one of her devotees. And Balaram said, why did she go outside? That devotee can come here? No, no, this is a Chandalini, a low-caste person, and she's not allowed inside the temple. So Lakshmi Devi went outside to see her. And Balaram said, Acha. He said, Jagannath, this is very bad. We can't allow this. Here in Jagannath Puri, we're Maryada. We follow the rules and regulations very strongly. And we don't allow this kind of thing. Lakshmi Devi can't go outside the temple to see some low-caste person. And Jagannathi said, please forgive her. She just means well. Balaram said, no, this is very serious. Balaram said, Jagannath, she's not allowed back in the temple. And Jagannath said, Balaram, she's a woman. You forgive her. She's just has some sentiment. She feels sorry for this poor Chandalini. It's a small thing. You forgive. And Balaram said, no, she's not allowed back in the temple. And Jagannath said, Balaram, please, she's my wife. Balaram said, this is your problem, Baba. You're too attached. You're attached to your wife. Now you become a henpecked husband. I told you this before. Before, when you came in Treta Yuga as Ramachandra, there you were Maryada Purushottam, and you followed the rules and regulations very strictly. And when your wife... she was being criticized by the local people, then you gave her up. So here in Puri, we also follow rules and regulations very strictly. So henceforth, she's not allowed in the temple. And Jagannath was saying, but Balaram, this is her temple. How can we? And Balaram said, you have a choice. You can have a wife, or you can have a brother. If you choose your wife, you want to be a henpecked husband, then I'm leaving. So when Lakshmi came back to the temple, she was surprised to find the doors were closed. So she knocked loudly on the temple. Open up, it's me, Lakshmi Devi. And there was a voice from the other side, Prabesh Nished, entrance forbidden. Lakshmi said, what are you saying? It's me, Lakshmi Devi, let me in. And the chokidar came out, he was a little nervous. He said, Mata, please forgive me. I'm very sorry. But it's not my fault. Jagannath, he gave this order. Jagannath gave this order. I want to talk to my husband now. So Jagannath came there. And Jagannath was also very nervous. And he said, I'm very sorry. What can I do? Balaram, he's very... And she said, you're going to listen to him? I didn't do anything wrong. You're going to lock me out like this? And Jagannath said, what can I do? I'm very sorry. And she said, you'll be sorry for this. And Jagannath went back inside and he went to Balaram. He said, Balaram, I think we should allow her inside. He said, I don't have a good feeling about this. Something bad's going to happen. Balaram said, see, you're too attached. Your wife, that's your problem. So meanwhile, Lakshmi Devi's outside. She picked up her cell phone. She made a quick phone call. Hello, goddess Nidra. Nidra is a goddess of sleep. I want you to do something for me. Lakshmi has good connections. Everybody will listen. Yes, yes, what is it? Tonight, while the brothers are sleeping, you make them sleep very deep. They don't wake up. Yes? Okay. Then she made another phone call. Hello, Astavetalas. Astavetalas are eight ghostly, creepy kind of fellows. And she told them, I have something I want you to do. Tonight, while the brothers are sleeping very deeply, you go in the temple and you steal everything. All the wealth you take from the temple. And then I want you to go to the godown, and I want you to take all the rice, all the sabji, all the sugar, all the milk, all the ghee, everything away. Yes, ma'am, whatever you say. So the next morning, Balaram and Jagannath woke up. And it was late. The sun was coming through in their eyes, and Balaram was feeling very uncomfortable. What's going on? And he looked down and he found that he was very soft, comfortable bed that he usually sleeps on was gone. And he was laying on top of one of these rope beds like they have, the poor people have in the villages. And Jagannath was laying next to him snoring. And Balaram elbowed him, hey, Kaliya, what's going on? I'm hungry. Where are the pandas? They should have some food. What happened to our bed? And Jagannath said, I told you. I think it's Lakshmi. We made some mistake. So where are the pandas? Pandas are all gone. And Jagannath saying, I'm also very hungry. Balaram said, don't worry. I'm a good cook. Today I'll personally cook. So then he went into the godown. And there's nothing there. Not even one grain of rice was left. And Jagannath was saying, Balaram, I told you. We shouldn't have done this to Lakshmi Devi. So then Balaram said, don't worry, it's okay. This is Jagannath Puri. We're famous here. We're in charge here. We'll go out and we'll beg. We'll take the form of Brahmins and go out and we'll chant some Vedic mantras and people, they'll give us some charity. Balaram and Jagannath said, good idea. So they went outside and they went and knocked on someone's door. Bhomata Bhagavati Bhikshan Dehi. Begged some alms. And they began chanting some Vedic mantras. Om Sahasra Sirsa Purusaha Sahasraksa Sahasrapat Sabhumin Vishrado Vitya Atyatista Dasangulam. The lady of the house said, oh, such nice mantras. Some Brahmins are there. She came outside. What do you want? Oh, we're very hungry. You can give us something. Yes, yes, come inside. Sit down. And Jagannath is looking very happy. Yes. Balaram said, see, I told you. It's no problem. So she said, just wait a minute. I'm just cooking something now. So she went into the kitchen and she started, had some nice rice and dalma, nice arisen preparation, different things. Meanwhile, Lakshmi Devi, she made another phone call. Hello, Vayu. I want you to blow all the prasadam away. Thank you. So suddenly inside the house, a very strange thing happened. A terrific wind came and started blowing and all the foodstuffs and all the pots blew away. And that woman was astonished. She'd never seen anything like, what is this? And then she thought, it's those two Brahmins. They must be bad luck, some bad persons or something. So she became angry and she picked up a jhadu, a broom. And she came out, get out! And Balaram and Jagannath, what is it? What's wrong? Out! Now! Go! And she started chasing him, and she started hitting him with the broom. And Balaram and Jagannath were running, and as they were running, Jagannath told Balaram, this is very bad. Even in Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda, she never beat me with a broom. This is a very bad thing. So Balaram said, don't worry, we'll go to some other house. So they started going other places, and Lakshmi Devi made some more phone calls. So wherever they went, they would go to the door, Bhomata Bhagavati Bhiksham Dehi, please give us some alms. And the people would come out, and wherever they went, they would become very angry. Ha! What are you doing? Get a job! Go away! Why are you bothering us? Beggars, get out of here, now! And Jagannath was feeling very bad, and he said, Balaram, I'm very hungry. I told you we shouldn't have done this. He said, don't worry, something good will happen. So then they were walking near the ocean, and as they were going, they saw there under a tree one beggar, poor beggar, sadhu. And this beggar was laying under the tree on his back, and his stomach was very big. And he was holding onto his stomach and he was groaning. And they could hear him speaking to himself as they came close. And that beggar was saying, I've never eaten so much in my life. What a feast, my God. So many preparations. And Jagannath and Balaram were hearing that. And they said, where did you go? You went to get some food? Oh, you don't know. There on the north part of the beach, in the area known as Chakratirtha, there's one very rich lady. She has a house and she's very kind. And anyone who comes, she gives so much prasad. Well, Jagannath is very happy. Balaram said, see, I told you, no problem. So then they decided to go to that place and they were walking across the beach in Puri. And then Lakshmi Devi, she made another phone call. Hello, Suryadev, the sun god. I want you to turn up the heat. So suddenly the sun became ferociously hot and the two brothers are walking barefoot on the sand and it's like an oven and their feet were burning and crying and running there. Finally they got to that house and they knocked on the door. Bhomata Bhagavati Bhiksham Dehi. And a maidservant came to the door. What do you two want? We're very hungry and we came here. You please give us something to eat. She said, okay, just 1 minute. Let me go ask my mistress. And she went to her mistress and came back and she said, I talked to my mistress and my mistress said she's very sorry but she can't give you anything because both of you are obviously very high class fellows. And my mistress, she comes from a Chandalini caste. She's a wealthy lady but she's a Chandalini and you're a very high class person. How can she cook for you? And Balaram said, yes. We have our standards. We don't accept cooking just from anyone. The mom said, but we're very hungry. You do one thing for us. Please give us some firewood and a few pots and some vegetables and rice and we'll cook for ourselves. So the maidservant said, well, I'll ask my mistress. And she came back a minute later. My mistress said, yes. And she had so many pots and rice and vegetables and things. And Balaram and Jagannath were very happy. And Balaram said, see, very quick now, we'll have a very nice feast. I'm a very good cook, you'll see. So they went down and they put the firewood there and the pots and things. And meanwhile, Lakshmi Devi, she made another phone call. Hello, Agni. No fire, just smoke. Okay? And then she made another call, Vayu. Yeah. Blow the smoke in their faces. Okay, thank you. So they're lighting the fire. And no fire is coming. Just this tremendous smoke. And it started blowing in their eyes. And their faces are becoming even more black. In Jagannath's case, Balaram is becoming black. And the water is coming from their eyes. And Jagannath said, Balaram, I told you we shouldn't have done this to Lakshmi. And Balaram said, yes, I agree. And then suddenly, they could smell something. Smelling some very nice cooking. And Jagannath, he said, this smells just the kind of same way that Lakshmi used to cook for us. And then Jagannath said, Balaram, I'm hungry. I don't care if she's a Chandalini. And Balaram said, I'm hungry too. Let's go. So they both went back to the door and knocked on the door. Bhomata Bhagavati Bhiksham Dehi. The maidservant came out. You two again? What do you want now? We're really hungry. You tell your maid, your mistress that we will eat anything. You please tell her we're ready to take something. Okay, I'll go in and tell her. So she came back a minute later. My mistress said you should come in. And the two brothers went inside and they found the place was fantastically opulent. Silk tapestries hanging from the walls. and very opulent carved furniture and so many things, and many thousands of maidservants, but only ladies, only maidservants, no men were there. And that maidservant said, anyway, you sit down here, and we'll come in just a few minutes. We'll bring you something to eat. Very good day, they were happy. So they're sitting there, and then after a few minutes, the mistress came out with a big golden plate of foodstuffs, and Balaram and Jagannath saw that it was Lakshmi Deva. And they became a little shy. And then they said, Lakshmi, please forgive us, we made some mistake. Please, we're very hungry, please feed us. And then Lakshmi Devi said, okay, I'll feed you, because ladies, we're forgiving, unlike men. We're very forgiving. We'll be happy to give you something to eat, but one condition is there, that henceforth, in this temple, the Jagannath Mandir, this Jagannath Mahaprasad should be available for anyone. And it's considered to be the same as having darshan. So you agree to this thing and then I'll feed you. And Jagannath and Balaram said, yes, yes. And so to this day, in Jagannath Puri, it's considered that if you take Jagannath Mahaprasad, it's the same as having darshan, Jagannath. During the British time, there's an interesting story. It's a local story, I don't know. I wasn't there. This is in the 1800s. And they say that the British became curious one day. They wanted to know what's inside the Jagannath Mandir. So they went to go inside. And the pandit said, hey, probationary shade, you're not allowed in. And they said, hey, we're the British. You have to let us in. And they came with their army. And the pandits, they were fearing, what could they do against the British army? And then according to the local tradition, suddenly, out of nowhere, hundreds and hundreds of these, they call them Hanuman monkeys, these big white monkeys with the black faces. They came out of nowhere and they started attacking the soldiers and biting them and scratching them. So they say it's a true story. And the British army freaked out. They panicked. How do you fight with monkeys? With guns, they don't fight fair. And they dropped their guns and they all started running here and there. And then the pandits, after a little while, they came out and they said, look, would you like to see Jagannath? The British said, yes. Okay, please sit down here on the street in a nice row. And they sat down there in a row. And then the pandits brought out some Jagannath Mahaprasad. And they gave them all prasadam. They said, this is the same as darshan. Okay, they say like that. It's the same as darshan of Jagannath. But personally, I'm still not satisfied with that. Because it's not the same. I want to see his form. And why is it that we're not allowed inside? Shall I tell you another story? Yesterday was Rath Yatra. Now you may know, because you're all devotees for many years, that there are many different ceremonies and rituals which are part of Rath Yatra. So since you're knowledgeable devotees, I'd like to ask you, what is your conception? When does a Rath Yatra begin? What ceremony does it begin with? What would you say? Snan Yatra. And that's a good thought. Does everybody agree with that? Actually, we would say Akshaya Tritiya. That's the day that they begin the construction of the carts. But you could say many days. You could say Snan Yatra. Another day that you could say just happens to be what we call Pandava Nirjala Ekadasi. And on that day, there's a special festival. I don't know if I brought that card, Krishna Krund. You know the card I'm talking about? Can you look through my notes and see what's there? You know our card, yeah. There's a festival on that day. It's called Lakshmi Rukmini Vivaha, or Lakshmi Narayan Vivaha. And on that day, it's the day that Jagannath gets married to Lakshmi Devi. And they have a very nice, joyous festival inside the Jagannath Mandir. And part of the festival is they take Jagannath's cloth and they tie it in a knot to Lakshmi Devi's cloth. That's on the Ekadasi. Then, just a few days later, on the Purnima, that day is called Snan Purnima. Prabhuji is saying that's Snan Yatra. And Jagannath comes outside for his public bath. Why does he come for Snan Yatra? Can someone say? Do you know? He doesn't need a bath. He has Navayovana body. He's not like us. He doesn't have any body odor. He doesn't use underarm deodorant or something like that. No? Why does he come out for that bath? Is there some reason? Two reasons are there. A Bahiranga Karana and an Antaranga Karana. An external reason and an internal reason. External reason is that's his birthday. How is it his birthday? What is Jagannath's birthday? Can you say? Actually, Jagannath is very fortunate. He has, thank you, he has three birthdays. Janmashtami, because he's Krishna. But he also has Snan Purnima. Snan Purnima is the day that Jagannath appeared. Jai Jagannath. He's appearing. Snan Purnima, he's agreeing. Snan Purnima is the day that Jagannath appeared in the Gundicha Mandir. And that's why Jagannath goes there, because that place where you're born, that's your home. Krishna's not born in Mathura. Did you know that? The little secret. Vasudeva Krishna, his expansion, he appears in Mathura. But according to Rupa Goswami, according to Srila Prabhupada, in Purport in the 10th canto, and according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Baladeva Dibhushan, according to Harivamsa Purana, actually Mother Yashoda had twins. And the same, she had baby Krishna, and she had Subhadra. And at the same time that those children were born, Vasudeva Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa. So, Snan Purnima is Jagannath's appearance day. And there's another third day, which is a little bit secret, and that's called the Gupta Utsav, or the hidden festival. It's an extra festival. And that's called Niladri Mahotsav. And that's the day when Jagannath goes back inside the Jagannath temple. That's the day that he was originally established by Lord Brahma in the temple. So that's also a kind of birthday, the day that he was established in the Sri Mandir. So he's very fortunate. He has three birthdays. So this is an external reason, but there's an internal reason. Jagannath, he asks the Pandas, he says, I'd like to go, my birthday's coming, so I'll go for Snan Yatra. You take me up on top of the wall, the building there, and give me a bath. But he has an internal reason. His internal reason is he's feeling great separation from the residents of Vrindavan. And he's hoping that if he goes on top of the wall, he may be able to see that place in the distance. He's hoping that that sight of the Gundicha Mandir Vrindavan will somehow soothe the pangs of separation in his heart. But it doesn't work. Rather, it's just the opposite. What happens after his bath? Do you know? He gets sick. How does he get sick? He has a Navayovana body. He's not sick. He gets heart sick. Because he sees Vrindavan in the distance, and rather than making things easier, it becomes worse. This is called Vipralamba Jvara, or the fever of separation. And Jagannath seems to become sick. You know, they give him medicine, not aspirin and antibiotics. But they give him some very interesting medicine. Fruit juices and sandalwood paste. Nice things from the forest. Avana, like Brindavana. Because that's the medicine for him. And Lakshmi Devi is a very good wife. You know, for almost 2 weeks during that period, which is called Anubhasara, we gave you that little cloth yesterday. That's from the Anubhasara. That's from Jagannath and Puri during the Anubhasara. They refurbish his body. During those 2 weeks, Lakshmi Devi, she doesn't sleep. She's a first-class wife. All the wives out there, you should hear this thing. For 2 weeks, she doesn't sleep. She's just waiting hand and foot on her husband, trying to help him while he's sick. She's a very good wife. After 2 weeks, what happens? You can't blame her. She becomes a little tired. If you didn't sleep for 2 weeks, you would also be very tired. So she falls asleep. And then what happens as soon as Lakshmi Devi falls asleep, such a good wife serving her husband like that, what does Jagannath do? First thing he does, he unties the knot that's tied with him and Lakshmi Devi, and he sneaks out of the Jagannath Mandir to go see his girlfriends at the Gundicha temple. That's called Ratha Yatra. Now, I'd like to know, we can ask, well, we'll divide this into ladies and gents. How many ladies say that this is very bad? It's a very bad example. Jagannath should not do like that. It's a very wrong thing to leave his newly married wife. Raise your hand if you think it's a bad thing. You'd be happy if your husband does like this? Krishna is raising her hand. Very bad.
Just because Jagannath
is
okay,
otherwise not. So your husband also, he's Guru Pati, he's a representative of Jagannath.
No.
So you don't agree then?
No.
So now we'll ask the men. Amongst the men, how many of you think that anyway it's okay, he's Jagannath, Lord of the universe, it's no problem, raise your hand. If it's okay for Jagannath.
Yeah.
Okay. So Lakshmi Devi, she wakes up a few days later and she's very innocent. Where's my husband? And the Pandits say, well, see, he kind of, it's like this. He went to see his girlfriends. And Lakshmi Devi, she becomes very, very sad and very hurt. And in the Jagannath Mandir, does anyone ever wonder what happens to Lakshmi Devi during the Ratha Yatra? Everybody's singing Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath. What about Lakshmi Devi? Such a good wife. When she wakes up and her husband's gone, she feels so sad. She says, I'm not going to stay here on the altar. Don't worship me. And she goes to the godown where they keep the vegetables and rice and things. This is what she does. And she refuses to take anything opulent to eat. And she just takes pakal, the water rice, like they feed the poor people in Orissa, and some sagu, some spinach, which is growing wild in different places. And for 5 days, she does that. And then, after some time, she develops another mood. This mood is known as a mananaiki, or the sulky, angry heroine. On the fifth day, she wakes up. And she goes to see, on that day, she goes to see goddess Bimala Devi. Bimala Devi, she's considered to be Jagannath's auntie. And she goes to see her just like a lady. If Kesha Madhava Babu runs away with some girl or something, what do? You become very upset. And you go and you speak to some other girlfriend. Right? This is what ladies do. You won't talk to another man. You talk to some lady. So Lakshmi Devi goes to goddess Bimala Devi. And she says, you know what my husband did? Very bad. And he didn't even leave a note, didn't tell me anything. And what's even worse than that, he took his sister with him, but he didn't take me with him, and he went to see these girlfriends. I was staying up, not sleeping for 2 weeks, serving this fellow. Very, very bad. And goddess Bimala Devi, she says, I know, they're all like that. She said, anyway, there's something special I have here. She said, I have this magic churna, this powder, this dust, it has some mantra in it. You take this, right, and you go to see your husband, and you chant this mantra, and you blow it in his face. Right, see what happens. So that next morning, Lakshmi Devi, she gets up, and that day is known as Hara Panchami in Orissa. Hara is an Oriya word which means to behold or to see. Panchami means the fifth day. So on that day, Lakshmi Devi, she gets up and she takes bath. For the first time, she didn't take bath while Jagannath's been gone. She takes bath, and on that day, she dresses herself up in very opulent ornaments, golden ornaments, silk sari. Before, she was staying in the godown with a very old, rotten sari and no ornaments while her husband was gone. But this day, she gets up and she dresses very opulently. And then she takes all of her maid servants and she dresses all of them very opulently. She has what we call some abhiman, an attitude. So then she gets on her palanquin, very wonderful festival, Hara Panchami, and she goes traditionally, she goes a different way. She's not following her husband. She goes a different route, and she goes to the Gundicha Mandir. When she arrives there, she sees the chariots are there, and some of the pandas are outside in the chariots. Hey! Where's my husband? You fellows brought him here. She's very angry. She ties one of the pandas to the chariot, and her maidservants begin beating him. And they break part of the chariot. Be careful, Prabhu. They break part of the chariot. And then Lakshmi Devi, she goes inside the Jagannath Mandir. I attended this festival 1 year. It started about 11 o'clock at night and finished about 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was there the whole time, except I couldn't go inside the Gundicha temple. She goes inside the Gundicha temple and she comes before her husband. But she doesn't say anything. And then Jagannath says, oh boy, I'm in big trouble. She blows her powder and then she leaves in a very proud way, very angry way. By the time Lakshmi Devi came out of the temple when I attended, everyone had gone and no one was outside. I was the only person waiting outside. And the interesting thing, as we were going, the pandas were a little harsh with me. Sometimes they were going to beat me. I was taking photos, and if I got too close to the palanquin or the pandas, they like this, very frightening. They'll hit you. But when they came out and they saw I was standing out there waiting for so many hours, their hearts became a little soft. And then we went back and around. And as they're going back, they go through a special area called Harasahi, I think is what it's called. It's another neighborhood. And it's a very wonderful festival. It's so late, it's like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And everybody's waiting for her. And everybody's houses, they've painted so many nice Rangoli designs outside their houses, and they have big stacks of fruits and flowers and incense, and everybody's so happy because everybody's on Lakshmi's side. Mm-hmm. Your husband was very bad, mm-hmm. and we have some sympathy for you. That's the way it works usually. Even if the lady's wrong, everybody sympathizes with her. Mm-hmm. So they worship her in so many different places. And then Lakshmi Devi, she goes back to the Jagannath Mandir. And meanwhile, Lord Jagannath, he's inside of the temple, the Gundicha temple, and he's thinking, oh boy, I'm in big trouble now. I better do something. Lakshmi Devi is going to be very, very angry with me. So, at that time, he decides to come back out, and that's the Bahuda Rath, the Bahuda Akadasi. Lord Jagannath comes out of the Gundicha Mandir and he starts going back to the Sri Mandir. And meanwhile, the King of Puri, there's a ceremony, he goes to the Jagannath Mandir. That ceremony, we wrote about it, it's called the Lakshmi Narayan Bet. Mm-hmm. And he goes to Lakshmi and he says, Lakshmi Devi, I've heard you're a little angry with Jagannath, mm-hmm. but I want you to know he loves you. Mm-hmm. And he takes Lakshmi Devi, the King of Puri, takes her to a place called the Chahani Mandap, which is near the Lion Gate. And he points out, you see, he's come back. He's here. Jagannath loves you. And Lakshmi Devi says, I don't know that fellow. He's very, very angry. Mm-hmm. So then meanwhile, Jagannath, he sees that Lakshmi's not coming out. Traditionally, it used to be, today they don't have the elephants, but he would send an elephant to bring Lakshmi to see him. And Lakshmi would refuse the elephant, no. And then again he would send some requests, she please come. And Lakshmi would refuse. And finally she decides to go with her friends. Mm-hmm. It's the nature of ladies. Mm-hmm. So she goes with a group of her maid servants being carried in the palanquin. And again she doesn't say a word to Jagannath. Offers her respect and she circumambulates him and goes back inside the temple. And Jagannath sees, I'm really in trouble now. So the next, that evening, Jagannath has a special dress. I'm going to have a photo of this dress. This is called the Vada Sringara Vesh. Excuse me, the Suna Vesh. Suna in Oriya means gold. And they say that on this day, between the three deities, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, they're wearing over 1 ton of solid gold. There's a lot of interesting things that you said about these ornaments and things. Time's a little short today. But why does he dress like this? It's a very popular dress. We see in Jagannath Puri many times more people come for that Sunavesh Darshan than come for Rath Yatra. The common thing. Because everybody likes to see God when he's very, very opulent. Why is he dressing like this? He's giving a subtle message to Lakshmi Devi. Look, I left them. I left those people in Vrindavan. And here I am dressed up real fancy again. Mm-hmm. I'm here for you. You're the goddess of fortune. See, I have all this gold and very fancy things. Huh? That's a subtle message. The next morning, is a ceremony called the Pahandi. And there's three Pahandis. One, two, there's four Pahandis during Jagannath Rath Yatra. Each time he comes out of the temple, he can get on the chariot or get off the chariot to go back in the temple. It's a Pahandi. So the deities, one by one, get off. And Subhadra gets down and she goes inside the temple. And then Balaram goes inside the temple. And then Jagannath, Kaliya starts to come down. Everybody's blowing the trumpets and everything. And when he comes to the door, the door is slammed shut in his face. And Jagannath, his pundits say, "Hey, it's Jagannath. You open the door." And there's a voice from the other side of the door. Prabesh nished. Entrance forbidden. He's Jagannath. He's the Lord of the universe. But he's locked out of his own temple. And so he's standing there in the street. He's still on his chariot. And so then becomes a special ceremony, which they've abbreviated over the last, I don't know, few decades. But still they have something. Jagannath's representative goes to the door and he says what husbands have said for millions of years to angry wives. Jagannath's very sorry. And he loves you very much. And please forgive him and this and this. And then there's a voice from the other side of the door.
Get lost.
And again, he's coming, but he really loves Lakshmi Devi and this and this. And the voice comes, go away. And they try so many different things. And finally, Jagannath, his servants come and they say, Jagannath has a nice sari for you. Nice brand new silk sari. Go away. So then he offers some jewelry, some nice earrings and things. And nothing works. And finally, they have a special ceremony where they offer some rasgullas. Lakshmi Devi likes rasgullas. And then Lakshmi says, okay. He can come inside. So then Jagannath, very triumphantly with the horns blowing and the conches blowing and the drums beating and all the devotees shouting, Jai Jagannath, he goes inside the first entrance. And he comes to the second door and suddenly the door is slammed shut. And the voice is Prabesh Nished. And again becomes some dialogue. And Jagannath's servants are saying, Lakshmi Devi, forgive. And Lakshmi Devi, she tells her maidservants, you give him a message. And she tells him, Achustale smakamapi devi chandastitavibo. Asmin stali pitatsokyam deva nasti priya nahi. She said that you tell him that his nice, sweet, loving wife, she's no longer here. And the only person he's going to find here in the temple is Goddess Chandi. See, none of you are from India. You don't know. Who is Goddess Chandi? Goddess Chandi is a form of Durga, an expansion of Lakshmi. Chandi Devi is a very ferocious form. Every deity has different articles in their hands. Chandi, she has four hands and two hands. One hand she has a big chopper. And the other hand she has a man's head that she cut off. So Lakshmi Devi gives this message. You tell Jagannath that his very sweet, loving wife is no longer here. And all he's going to find here is Goddess Chandi. Tell him there's no happiness here for him. Chandanadi sugandam yad baksha bojadi kamcha yad idam virhani stanam tat stanam gacha hevibo. I know he likes very nice things to eat and nice sandalwood paste and fragrant oils. Tell him he won't find any of those things here anymore. Tell him, I'm sure that his girlfriends must be feeling so much pangs of separation from him. And he should go back to him. Is this a good thing? Lakshmi's telling? You think? Sonia, you think it's a good comment?
Yeah.
You should go back there. She's become the Manini Nayak. She's, excuse my language, she's become a little pissed off. Very, very angry with her. So, finally, Balarami says, look, I was with my elder brother Balaram. How could you come with me? Traditionally, even to this day, in Orissa, Lakshmi Devi, she won't go near Balaram. Because in Orissa, the older brother, the lady, the wife, the younger brother, she won't go near the older brothers, of kind of culture like that. So then Jagannath again, he promises so many different gifts and things for Lakshmi. And then finally, they agree, okay, you can come inside. And then there's another festival. And that festival is called the Niladri Vijay. And they take Jagannath and they put him back on the altar. They put Lakshmi next to him. And then they do another little ceremony. They take Jagannath and Lakshmi's cloth and they tie it in a knot again. Because they're a married couple. So we made a magazine all about this subject. We called it Patit Pavan, the Most Merciful Lord. We had a little bit of irony on the cover. Down below in the corner is a little sign that says, only Hindus allowed. Patit Pavan, the deliverer of the fountain, only Hindus allowed. And we'd like to point out to devotees that next time we're standing outside the temple in Jagannath Puri feeling sad and abused, that we can't go inside, look over your shoulder. You may find that you're in good association. You may find Haridas Thakur there. You may find Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. You may find the poet Balaram Das, one of the most famous poets in Arya. You may find Salabeg. Salabeg is probably the most famous devotee of Jagannath in Orissa. He wrote so many beautiful songs, but he was born in a Muslim family, and they wouldn't allow him inside the temple. So you may find some good association. You may find even Lakshmi Devi. And you might even find Jagannath himself standing outside in the street. Because in Jagannath Puri Dham, this is a pastime of the Lord. And for the devotees, they don't mind. Rather, they feel that adarshanam mahatam karotuva, mat prananatas, tusa eva napra. Whether he gives me darshan or not, he's always the Lord of my life. And if he wants to abuse me, then I'll wear that abuse as an ornament on my head. Sometimes in Puri, the pandas, they tell us, oh, Madhavananda, you're very unfortunate. Durbhagya. And I say, why? Because you can't go inside the Jagannath Mandir and see Jagannath. And I tell him, I don't have to go inside. I stay outside, and he comes out to see me. And that's called Ratha Yatra. And then I asked him a question. I said, you're a pandit. You're very Shastravit. You know so much Shastra. Please tell me, who did Krishna give more mercy to? The Brijbasis or the Dwarkabasis? What would you say? Who got more mercy? The Brijbasis. They always tell me that too. And I tell them, it's a lie. How can you say that? Krishna left them. He didn't give them darshan. They couldn't see him. And they cried in separation from him. But the Dwarkabasis, they could see him every day. So the Dwarkabasis got more mercy, isn't it? No, you're right. Aho dine nate nahita charano nishchitam idam Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu me Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu me. Oh Dini Natinahita Charano Nishchitamidam. When Jagannath sees that someone feels very low and fallen, I'm less than a dog. The dogs can go inside, but I can't. And they're feeling very low and fallen, and they're standing out there on the street and they're crying. Jagannath the Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu me. Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu me. Oh, my dear Jagannath, when will you appear before me? Jagannath gives them more mercy. There's more mercy in that thing. Rupa Goswami says this in his Ujjali Lamani. Navina Vipralambena Sambhogan Pushtam Ashnute. There's a purpose for Vipralamba. Separation, Vipralamba, makes the love increase. And for the devotees, when they see Jagannath, then it's more special. So, my humble opinion is that for those of us who are not allowed inside the temple, you're getting more mercy if we accept it in that way. I'll tell you another personal story. We finished this magazine a few years ago, and when we finished writing it, and we had 1 week before we had to leave. We had tickets to come to Europe. I think Switzerland that year too, I don't know. No, not Switzerland. So we were coming that year to Europe. We already had our tickets purchased. And I only had 1 week. The text was finished, but I had 1 week to do the design and the layout. Usually it takes me about 1 month to do the design and layout. We like to have a lot of pictures and nice design. So I didn't know what to do. I went and prayed, Jagannath, please, you somehow help me. I don't know how. I can't tell you how, but somehow it was finished in 1 week. All the layout and everything. And when we finished the whole magazine, now we were ready to go to Europe. And just as we'd finished it, we were sitting in Bhakti Rupa Prabhu's office, and suddenly one of our Brahmin friends, Ariya friends, came in to our ashram there. And he said, Madhav Nanda, I just came from Jagannath Puri. I brought you something from Jagannath. Here's some Mahaprasad. Just at the moment we finished the magazine, we felt, oh, Jagannath's really reciprocating. And then he said, there's also something else I have for you, too. He said, I have a card for you. The card had said, His Grace Madhav Nanda Prabhu and Krishna Kum Mataji on the outside. I opened it up. I can barely read a few words in Uriya. I said, what is this? He said, it's an invitation. Now please understand, we just finished this magazine. This magazine has two primary subjects. The primary subject, the first main subject, is how Westerners are not allowed inside the temple and how we understand it. And there's many, many things we wrote about this. We've just touched a tiny bit of it today. It would take a few days to explain more. That's one subject. How Westerners are not allowed in the temple. Second subject is, we just described today, Lakshmi's wedding. Right? So he said, there's this card for you. He said, this is from the Jagannath Mandir. I said, what is it? He said, it's an invitation. An invitation to go inside the temple for a special festival. You can pass this around. For the wedding of Jagannath and Lakshmi. And I told Krishna Kund, I said, so I think Jagannath's laughing at us. I know everyone's going to ask the next question, did you go? Well, our tickets were a few days before the festival, so we never went inside. I don't know, maybe they would have let us in, maybe they wouldn't have let us in. And it was our friend who wrote our name on the cover of the envelope. But it meant a lot to us that the Jagannath reciprocated in this way. So this is something practical. We can say so many theoretical things that Jagannath, we're chanting, we're better than the Pandas. All right. And we can say that Haridas Thakur and Salabeg are not allowed inside. Okay. But still, it hurts our heart. Why he's not allowing us inside? It means I have no relationship with him? No, we do have a relationship. And this is our relationship. And he loves me, and therefore he's not allowing me inside. And I'll wear that as an ornament on my shoulder. And as some of you have nicely pointed out, we don't have to go inside, because now Jagannath, he's come here. And Prabhupada has brought him all over the world, and we have Jagannath Rathayatra all over. But next time you go to Puri, please don't feel sad. Understand, this is a pastime in Jagannath Puri, a place of Vipalamba Keti, a place of separation, where many people, sometimes even Lakshmi, sometimes even Jagannath, are locked out of the temple. That's a pastime in that place. Shimadudura Saganaiti Murti Mahabhav Prakash Jagannath Swami Ki Shri Jagannath Baladev Shimati Subhadramai Sudarshanju Ki Shri Vipalam Baketra Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Shri Jagannath Rathayatra Mahamahotsava Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Samaveda Bhaktabinda Ki Gopremanandi Vancha Kopadarubhischa Kripasindu Bhyevacha Patita Rampa Thank you. Any questions or comments? Does this make you feel better?
Yeah.
You'll come to Jagannath Puri now?
Yeah.
You can come from one of the yatras. We'll be very happy.
We can be the ones, so like it's an ocean of people. No? Or we come with you. If we have a guide, it's okay, but there alone.
Do you know one of the most powerful experiences I've had in my life was a kirtan that we had standing outside the Jagannath temple with about 50 devotees from China, and everybody was crying because they couldn't go inside the temple. And I told them afterwards, I said, you know, I'm happier to be out here in the street with you than inside the temple of Jagannath, because I think Jagannath comes outside and he's here with us in this kind of kirtan. It's a beautiful thing. It evokes some feeling. Otherwise, yes, we have our religion and we can go and we can see him and do like the Hindus and pull on our ears and whatever. But we should have some feeling. We should have some reciprocation. And it's there in Puri if we see that. Did you want to make some comment?
Yeah, I wanted to ask. I heard that in some shastras it's written that foreigners will take over the Jagannath Puri temple.
This question we hear a lot. There's five devotees called the Panchasakas. Let's see, Yasovant, Balaram Das, Jagannath Das, Achyutananda, and there's one other one I can't remember. And anyway, these are five personalities in Orissa who some people claim were the most intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's interesting, they have a completely different sect. They don't, in their books, they don't write anything about Rupa Goswami. Even they don't write about Ramananda Roy. Maybe he's mentioned very briefly. He's from Orissa, Ramananda Roy. They don't mention anything about the Gaudiyas. And one of the leaders of those Panchasakas, his name was Achyutananda. And he wrote a few books, one of which is called Sunya Samhita, or the Samhita of the book, which speaks all about Sunyavad, about how everything is nothingness. And in the Panchasaka doctrine, it's kind of more of a social movement, really, than it is a philosophical one. They have a lot of different ideas. And there's five different personalities, and there's a little different understanding amongst these five different personalities. It's very hard to kind of pin them down on any particular topic. We've written a few things about the Panchasakas in some of our Jagannath magazines. I won't go so much in that direction now, just to try to answer your question. But we should understand, first of all, before I touch on your question, that there is some strong differences between those groups and ourselves. The followers of Chutananda, who made this prediction, I'll come to that, they worship Jagannath. They were tilak, it looks like our tilak, two lines of Urdhva Pundra going up. They were Kunti Mala, they read Bhagavad Gita, they read Srimad Bhagavatam. They worship deities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha Krishna. They chant the Hare Krishna mantra. But they have some other funny ideas. For one, which is they believe that Jagannath is a source of Krishna. And Krishna is one of the manifestations of Jagannath. Another thing they believe is that the highest form of Jagannath is Sunyavada, some impersonal kind of idea. And in their practices, they also do a lot of things which we're not so into, like Astanga Yoga. They do a lot of mudras, and they are also very much into astrology. And Chaitananda is a famous astrologer. And now, some persons in that tradition have been training some ISKCON devotees in astrology. Maybe it's not a bad tradition, I don't know, I don't want to say anything. But anyway, there's one book by Achyutananda where he says some interesting things. He says, for example, that when a crow lands on top of the chakra and then a few days later a large stone falls inside the temple, then soon Jagannath will leave the temple and he'll go in the hands. And it gives the Sanskrit word as something for Russia. And he'll go with some Russian devotees. So some years back there was a crow that went on top of the chakra, and mysteriously there's a huge stone which weighed like a few tons, which fell from somewhere inside the Jagannath Mandir on the roof and smashed on the ground. Fortunately no one was killed or hurt. And to this day they can't figure out where that stone came from. Mysterious. I mean, several ton stone, and you can't figure out where it came from. Very mysterious thing. And they say this thing about the Russian devotees, and they say that they'll take him outside the mandir, and they'll take him to a place near Cuttack, which is about, I don't know, it's 30 kilometers away from Bhubaneswar, and say 120 kilometers or something away from Jagannath Puri. And the Jagannath will be worshipped there. So I don't know I'm not so enthusiastic about their tradition, if you haven't already noticed that. And also, sometimes these kind of predictions are very tricky. If they take place at all, they may happen in a way that we're surprised, that we don't expect. It's an interesting thing, though. You know, what year was it when Gorbachev, he gave amnesty to all the Hare Krishna devotees in Russia? You may remember that. You were a devotee at that time, right? It was in the 80s, I think 84, 85, something like 86.
79.
Uh-huh. Okay, anyway, I was a devotee at that time. And Gorbachev, we know our Sri Prahlad Prabhu, he sung that song, you may know. Very nice song, he's a little boy, like 9-year-old boy singing, "Dear Mr. Gorbachev, please let our Hare Krishna friends go." So that year, they allowed the devotees for the first time, they allowed the Hare Krishna devotees to leave Russia and come to India. And there was a group of about 400 Russian devotees. And they met with Rajiv Gandhi in Delhi, and they were given a very, like a hero's welcome, and all the newspapers wrote about them. And those Russian devotees, they were crying to be able to come to India. It meant so much to them. And they came to Jagannath Puri, and Indradyumna Maharaj organized a huge Harinam with those 400 devotees. And they started going to the Jagannath Mandir. And when they were going there, the pandas, they heard about it. And they became frightened because they knew about this prediction from Achyutananda. And they thought, oh my God, the Russians are coming to attack the temple. So they got guns and things. And they, and to this day, I think partly because of the pandas, we see them, a lot of them are, we see them in the West, beefed out. They're really, they do a lot of lifting weights and things, and they have some huge bodies because they want to defend Jagannath against these Russian devotees. And it was in the newspapers that the Russians were going to attack the temple and things. And of course, the devotees, they just went and chanted Hare Krishna in the street. They didn't do anything bad. So that's all I know about this. Is it okay? Anything else is there?
In your book is mentioned how Prabhupada developed the silky moon towards Jagannath Puri, and like once they tried it, never sent it, didn't work really, and he lost all his interest, and he focused on Bhubaneswar, would go Vrindaswami started there, this temple. And this incident in Prabhupada like was even very much focused on his spot, like having some stick in his hand 3 times, putting him on the ground and saying, I put all my mercy here. And could you speak a bit more about this incident and what is the special thing?
That's a very esoteric thing. Everybody always likes to talk about miracles and predictions and far out things. I'm a little more pragmatic and practical. I find those things a little, I don't understand it because I haven't realized that. But I can just repeat to you what I heard from my Guru Maharaj and we put in our book. That he said, and I don't know how he said this or why he said this, he said, but Prabhupada was sulky with Lord Jagannath because Jagannath wouldn't allow his Western devotees inside. I don't know if he asked Prabhupada this or somebody had some vision or some realization. I really don't know. I do know that he had some private conversations with Prabhupada about Jagannath Puri and the temple and things, although he wouldn't tell us any details of those, so I can't say more than that. But he said that he was sulky, Prabhupada was sulky with Jagannath. He was angry why Jagannath won't allow his disciples inside. And then our Guru Maharaj said that Lord Shiva invited Prabhupada, you come and open a temple in Bhubaneswar. Because the Bhubaneswar is known as Vaishnav Ketra. It's the place of the great Vaishnav, Vaishnavanamita Shambhu, Lord Shiva. And he said that Lord Shiva invited Prabhupada to come and open a temple in Bhubaneswar. I don't know what this means. But this is what our Guru Maharaj said. I'm just repeating that. So Prabhupada went there. And Prabhupada stayed for 17 days in January in 1977. And while he was there, Nityananda Trayodasi, in the beginning of February, Prabhupada established a cornerstone in the temple there. And as Prabhupada was walking around the property there, as you were saying, once Prabhupada stopped and he slammed his cane 3 times on the ground. And as he slammed it down, he said, I put all my mercy here. And he told Gorgananda Maharaj, he said that this temple will be one of the best temples in all of the world. And he told him, whatever that means, I'm not an advocate, I'm not for the tourist agency for the Bhubaneswar temple, but we're just trying to repeat something. And he also told him something very interesting, at that time, the property was at the Bhubaneswar temple. It was very far outside of the city, and it was a jungle. There were huge anthills there. There were wild elephants there. To this day, about a 20-minute walk, 20, 30-minute walk north of the temple, you'll find a wild elephant reserve. It's there, not so far from the temple. There were poisonous snakes. Once Gorgavinda Maharaj, when he was staying on the property, there were some local villagers, and he was giving a lecture. And he sat down, he would speak sometimes for 4 or 5 hours. He'd give very long talks. And when he got up, he finished his talk, a cobra had crawled onto his lap while he was speaking. And as he stood up, the cobra fell down. It was that kind of place, a very difficult place. And the devotees, the Western devotees, were a little freaking out. There was no electricity, no water, no proper toilets. He had to go in, no toilets at all. He had to go in the field and do your business there and take bath outside from a tiwa, which they just dug, just, you know, prior to Prabhupada's coming there. It was very austere. So many of the devotees are telling Prabhupada, this is not a good place, Prabhupada. This is in the middle of nowhere. People were afraid to go there because they said there were gundas there. There were some local people who were worshipping a ghost in a tree. That tree is still there. If you go to ISKCON Bhubaneswar, just behind our Brahmachari ashram, you'll find there's an open field. And in that field is a big ancient tree which is surrounded by some kind of fence, you know, concrete stone fence. And they made some shrine there, and they say there's a ghost in that tree, you know, worshipping that. So people were afraid to go there because of this ghost and because of the dacoits and the wild animals. And there was in the middle of nowhere, there was nothing there. He said, Prabhupada, we don't want it. Prabhupada told Gorgavinda Maharaj, he said, they have problems. They can't stay here. He said, but you stay here. And you do, he said, I want this temple here. And he said that one day, this place would become the center of Bhubaneswar. And all the devotees, you couldn't see, there was no buildings anywhere in that area. And if you go there today, there's buildings everywhere around there. And that place where Prabhupada established that temple, which is now on the National Highway number 5, it's a fantastic, popular spot. That part of Bhubaneswar is now the fastest growing part of Bhubaneswar. And Prabhupada's prediction is coming true. And that temple, our ISKCON Bhubaneswar temple, is the second, number two. We'd like to be number one. This is the number two most popular Vaishnav temple in all of Orissa. What's the number one most popular? The Jagannath temple in Puri. Very difficult to compete with him. And Prabhupada, when he established that temple, he laid the cornerstone. He told Gorgavinda Maharaj, he said that you should establish deities here. You make three altars. You have Gornitai, Krishna Balaram, and Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. And he told them that you have Gornitai and Krishna Balaram made by some Orissan sculptor, in a traditional Orissan way, and don't make deities of Jagannath. He said, you just make an altar and leave it empty, and Jagannath will come. And so Gorgavinda Maharaj, he followed Prabhupada's instruction, and he had Gornitai and Krishna Balaram established, and there was a big ceremony. They installed the deities, and the temple opened, and there was a third empty altar. And the devotees were wondering, what is this instruction problem? One day, some man came to the temple, and he invited Gorgavinda Maharaj, please come to my house and do some pravachan. And so he went there, and he gave a talk, and then the man said, I want to show you something. He took him to the next room, and there were deities of Jagannath. Those deities from the ground are, more than 5 feet high. I was doing puja for a long time. And when you would dress him at night, you know, Jagannath, put my arms around, I couldn't put my arms completely around him. He's so big to dress him. Very nice thing at night, isn't it? When you dress Jagannath like that. So he told him, he brought him in that room and showed him those deities, and he said, I want to give these deities to the temple. The Prabhupada knew that. He predicted. Jagannath, he said, will come on his own. And so those Jagannath deities are there today. And Prabhupada, he told Gorgavinda Maharaj, he said that Jagannath will leave Puri and he'll come here to our temple. And so our Guru Maharaj used to insist that this Jagannath here in our temple, he's the same, exactly the same as in Jagannath Puri. And you don't have to go to Puri, you can come here and have darshan, and it's just the same. Something like that. Prabhuji?
In our tradition, we worship Krishna, Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayana. Why, in that sense, Jagannath is worshipped alone?
He's not worshipped alone. He's worshipped with Baladev and Subhadra.
Yes, of course, but without Lakshmi.
Well, to be a little pointed, first of all, we don't worship Lakshmi Narayan or Sita Ram in our tradition. Sometimes for preaching we do. But Rupa Goswami has instructed us, Siddhanta Tvastu Vedeti, Shisha Krishna Sarupayaha, Rasanat Krishna Te Krishnam, Rasamesha Rasastitihi. He says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that although in terms of Siddhanta, Lakshmi and Lord Narayan and Krishna are the same in terms of Siddhanta, they're a Veda. But in terms of rasa, Krishna is superior. And therefore, sometimes for preaching, Prabhupada would establish Sita Ram, Lakshman Hanuman. I don't know that he ever established Lakshman Narayan. But still, it doesn't take away from your question. Rather, it adds to it, because in our tradition, we want to worship Radharani. We, in our tradition, this is a little high thing, we can't really understand this, but theoretically, you should understand this. We don't want you to be mushroom devotees. Tell you the truth about things. Our tradition is called Bhavalasarati. Bhavalasarati means, it's defined, when the devotee has equal or more devotion to Radharani than to Krishna. That's our line. In our line, we don't sing this song, this popular Gujarati song, which you always see them singing in India. They say, Radhe, Radhe, Shammi, Radhe. We don't like that. That's not a Gaudiya song. What is the meaning of that song? Radhe, Radhe, Shyam, Niladi. Oh, dear Radharani, please give me darshan of Shyam. That's the prayer. Our prayer is Shyam, Shyam, Radhe, Niladi. We pray to Krishna, you please let us see Radharani. We worship Radharani even more. So understanding that, and understanding the mood, for example, of Raghunath Das Goswami, who I don't have here with me. We made a whole magazine about this subject. We called it The Hidden Identity of Jagannath. And we raised a question which, quite frankly, I don't know if it's ever been really asked before, much less addressed. The question was, your question, rephrase a little bit. If you say that Jagannath is Vrindavan Bihari, Shyam Sundar Krishna, then, as they would say in Bengali, Kotai Radha. Where is Radharani? Because there's no separation between Jagannath and Radha. Between Krishna and Radha. Radharani is always with Krishna. There's no such thing as separation between them. Raghunath Das Goswami in his Manasiksha, not his Manasiksha, but some other prayers, Stavavali, he writes that, he says that even if Krishna, he leaves Dwarka, he leaves Vrindavan and goes to Dwarka, and he's calling me, come, come, I won't go there. Unless I see Radharani's there. But if I see that Radharani, due to some madness or something, she's left Vrindavan and she's gone to Dwarka, even if she doesn't call me, I'm going to run there as fast as I can. This is Bhavalasarati. A very high thing. We're not feeling this, we're not experiencing this, but philosophically we should understand it. This is our heritage. This is our tradition. This is our goal. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that amongst the different anarthas, one is that someone doesn't understand proper siddhanta. We don't understand what is our proper goal. Doesn't mean that we're being sahajas to speak about the goal. If you want to drive a car from here to Vrindavan, you're not being a sahaja, you're not being wrong if you want to have a map to know where you're going. If you don't keep a fixed direction, how are you going to get there? So, in a similar way, we may be starting a long ways from Vrindavan. Zurich is a long ways from Vrindavan. And you have to begin your journey from here. I'm sorry. You can't just jump to Mathura or Delhi or some close place. You have to begin from where you're at. So, we're beginning where we're at, but at the same time, we keep a goal in mind, our param gati. Otherwise, how will we be assured that we're going to achieve that goal? And this is our goal, this Bhavalasarati. And we treat it with great respect. We don't sentimentally try to act upon that thing, but that's the thing that we keep in front of us ultimately. So, if Jagannath is Vrindavan Bihari, Shyam Sundar Krishna, Kotai Radha, where is Radharani? We contemplated this subject for many different years. Can I have a songbook? And we did research on this thing for a long time, and we found many different interesting things, some of which even the pandas in Puri, they didn't know about. I can tell you a few such things. During the Navakalevaram ceremony, which again is coming in a few years in Jagannath Puri, that's when Jagannath changes his body. He has a change of body pastime. It's a long, elaborate festival, and I won't describe it. That would be a whole other class just to describe all the details of this Navakalevaram festival and the purport of it. But suffice to say that they have a dream. One of Jagannath's representatives comes and tells them where the tree is at. It's going to be Jagannath, and that tree has to have certain symbols and has to have certain things near it. Otherwise, they won't accept it. So anyway, they go to that tree, the Jagannath Dara. I was there the last time Jagannath's body changed was in 1996. The previous time before that was in 1977 when Prabhupada left, and in 96 when my grandmother's left. And we went and had darshan of that dara, that tree, before they cut it down. And they have a ceremony. They have one panda come with a gold axe, solid gold axe. It's only about as big as your little finger. And it touches the gold axe of the tree. And then another panda comes with a silver axe and touches that to the tree. And then one person comes, he's considered to be a descendant of Vishvakarma, with an iron axe. And they cut the tree down. And they cut off all the branches and the bark. They do an abhishek, they chant Purusha Shukta mantras, and they bathe and purify that dharu, that tree. That's not so uncommon when someone performs a deity installation. There's several different ceremonies which take place before the deity installation to purify that deity. Maybe the pujari, the stapati who is making the deity, maybe put his feet on the deity, or maybe he went and passed stool and then didn't take bath afterwards and came and was working on the deity. So if there's any impurity that might be there, we have some different ceremonies, the long complicated thing that you do, including some bathing and things, before the deity is installed. And then one of the first things that are done when the deity is installed is there's some prana pratishta, and one chants a special mantra which evokes the identity of the deity. It's kind of like telling him, this is who you are. And when we say Shri Krishna Yahavaha, Yahavaha, Shri Krishna Yatista, Yatista, we do some mudras and we call the deity and we identify the deity, you're this particular deity, this personality. And there's a mantra for that. So there's a mantra that they chant at that time. The pandas is a very secret mantra. Practically today it's lost. Most of the pandas have forgotten and don't know about this thing. We found it in a very old rare book. And they cut the dharu down, they take off all the bark, they give the abhishek, they chant Purusha Shukta, and then they chant this mantra. What is that mantra? We found that out. They chant that mantra, I think seven times, I think. It's a Radha mantra. As an identity for Jagannath. What is that? A Radha mantra for Jagannath? That's his inner identity? What does that mean? So we were doing more research. We found out a few other things. Jagannath wears a sunavesh. We were showing you that picture. There's another dress I like better. It's more in the heart of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. That dress is called the Buddha Sringaravesh. Buddha means great. Shringara means Sringara Rasa, or Madhurja Rasa, the mellow of the gopis and Krishna. And they say that every night when Jagannath wears that dress, and he has the Gita Govinda Kandua, at that time. We wrote a whole magazine about this. The Gita Govinda Kandua is a sari which has the words of Gita Govinda written on it. Glorification of Radharani, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And Jagannath wraps himself up in that every night. They take some tulsi leaves. We've met the lady, what is her name? I can't remember. One lady, she's doing a service today, and she writes words from Gita Govinda on tulsi leaves. Very nice service, very rustic. And they take those tulsi leaves and they paste them every night in Jagannath's heart. And they make little garlands and they hang them in different places on his body. And that's the last darshan of the evening. It's called the Buddha Shringara Dup. They offer some incense, some dup, and some artik. And at that time they say, Radharani and the gopis come to have darshan of Jagannath. Right? Radharani's there. And then at that time there's another ceremony, which is a very secret ceremony, which very few people, even pandas, know about. Would you like to hear about that? They put him to rest. Now, you may know, when you put the deities to rest, when you put Jagannath to rest here in Mataji, I don't think you put the big deities in a bed, do you? You have the small deities, and you put the small deities in their own bed. So similarly, Jagannath in Puri, you know, he's over 6 feet high. And if you're there at the time of Rath Yatra to move Jagannath, they have like 100 pandas around him trying to push him on the cart. And sometimes, I've seen many years, they're pushing him, and all of a sudden, he starts coming back down because he weighs a huge amount. So they don't put him in his own bed. But they have a special deity, just as you have a special deity here. You have the small Vijay Vigra deities of Jagannath that you put to rest, and small deities of Goni Tai, the same way you put in the beds, and those are non-different. So there's a deity of Jagannath called the Shaina Vigraha. And that deity, it's not Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. There's only one deity. And this deity is a very unusual deity. Practically, you'll never hear of such a deity. First of all, the deity is very small. He's only maybe as big as my thumb. I've never seen him, but I've heard that. And the deity, they say, is made out of solid gold. Isn't that a very interesting thing? We can understand something about a deity or the personality by the color of that personality and the complexion and the, what the deity is made from. And that deity is called... what is that called? Ardha Narayani Ishvara. Thank you. Very good. It's half Lakshmi and half Vishnu. That's very unusual. Have you ever seen a deity like that? Half Lakshmi and half Narayana. And it's a golden deity. And that's the deity who represents Jagannath and is put to rest. So based on all these things, in a very important verse from the Jagannath Ashtakam, we proposed a conclusion about Jagannath. It's described in Jagannath Ashtakam. Pare brahma pira kuvalaya dolo pula nayano nibasi nila jonahita charano nanta shirasi param brahma pira kuvalaya dolo pula nayano. One person translated this. Sometimes there's some funny translations in English. One funny translation I saw was that Jagannath is putting his feet on the head of Lord Brahma. Okay, why not? But it's a little funny. Why? We don't usually hear that. But there's another meaning. Para Brahma Pita. Brahma can mean Lord Brahma, but it also can mean Brahman, or the absolute truth. Krishna's Para Brahma. Pare Brahma Pita Kuvalaya Dalot Fula Nayano. That he's the fully blossoming, he's the last limit. Jagannath is the last limit of Brahman. He's the supreme absolute truth. Nibhasi Nilada Nihita Charano Ananta Sirasi. He's always living in Nilacha, Jagannath Puri Dham. Previously in Jagannath Ashtakam, it also says, Sada Vrindavana Basati Lila Parichayo, that he's always living in Vrindavan. Two different verses in Jagannath Ashtakam. Sada Vrindavana Sada Srimad Vrindavana Basati Lila Parichayo, he's always in Vrindavan. But then this verse says, Nibhasi Nilada Nihita Charano Ananta Sirasi, he's always in Jagannath Puri. What does that mean? The next line of the verse describes very nicely. Rasanandi Radha Sarasa Vapur Alingana Sukho Jagannatha Swami Nayanapata Gami Bhavatume. Rasanandi Radha Sarasa Vapur Alingana Sukho. He's always getting so much sukh, so much happiness, because he's always embracing Srimati Radharani to his chest. Mataji's been serving Jagannath for a long time. Many times you've seen him without his dress, right? Many times you've seen Jagannath without his dress when you're serving him. Have you seen Radharani? Have you seen Radharani there?
No.
No. But it says, Rasanandi Radha Sarasa Vapur Alingana Sukho. The Radharani is always embraced to his chest. Do you see him? Do you see her there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe it's wrong. Maybe we should cut this line out from the Jagannath Ashtakam. Mistake, some sentimentality. It's not a mistake. Shitaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayana. He's a combined form of Radha and Krishna. Who is his Ishtadev? This is a very big subject matter. You were speaking the other day about Sri Rangam. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Sri Rangam, he was going daily to have darshan of Lord Ranganath. But while he was there, he did something unique in all of his pastimes that we've never heard of anywhere else. He made deities with his own hands. What deities were those? Mataji's had darshan of them. Tell us. Jagannath Baladi Subhadra, in a very beautiful form. Very, not exactly like this Jagannath. Very, very unique, very unusual form. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Ishtadev. And I can prove it again. If you look in the biographies of Mahaprabhu, Vrindavan Das Thakur, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mangal, Bhaktivedanta, Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, other literatures, practically there's little or no mention of any deities. Rangadeva's mentioned little something. Tota Gopinath's mentioned more, little, but not very much. But Jagannath is mentioned hundreds of times. And in the Chaitanya Mangal, it's said there that Mahaprabhu was going three times a day to have darshan of Lord Jagannath. And in Chaitanya Mangal, he quotes some verse from the Puranas, which I don't have with me right now, stating how there's a very special connection between Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's predicting Mahaprabhu before he came, and how Mahaprabhu would have this special connection with Jagannath. So why is Jagannath the Ishadeva of Mahaprabhu? Why not Radha Krishna? Well, first of all, Mahaprabhu is a little unusual form. Many people can't understand Mahaprabhu. Many Hindus, you know Mataji, you're the Pujari here, they relate to Jagannath something, and then they relate especially to Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, and Gornitai. Who are those guys anyway? They don't stand in front of that altar usually, unless they're from West Bengal or something. They don't relate to Mahaprabhu. But we know that Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nai Anya, that Mahaprabhu is a combined form of Radha and Krishna. And what's on the inside manifests on the outside. Srimati Radharani is on the inside, and so on the outside, although he's Krishna, Nomi Krishna Sarupam, Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam, on the outside he's golden. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Krishna Viraha Vidura Rup. If separation from Krishna can manifest a form, that form is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And who is Jagannath? Jagannath is Radha Viraha Vidura Rup. He's the embodiment of separation from Radharani. If separation from Radha can manifest a form, that form is Lord Jagannath. He's Mahabhav Prakash, he's Madhurja Rasa Ganayati Murti, he's a condensed form of conjugal mellow. And Rasanandi Radha, Sarasa Vapur Alingana Sukha, he's always embracing Radha to his chest. You can't see it, even you're a pujari, you go, you don't see that. But inside the heart of Jagannath, there's Milan. Externally, there's separation. But internally, there's union. And Jiva Goswami speaks about this also in his Sandarbhas. Prabhupada also speaks about this. The very word vipralamba means to attain something from a distance. It means external separation, but internal union. When it seems like there's external separation, there's internal union. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was crying in separation from Krishna. For that reason, we don't put a peacock feather on his head, because he's looking for Krishna. He's in the mood of a devotee. He's crying for Krishna, and Jagannath is Krishna crying for Radha. And how can it be otherwise? And these evidences are there, that this Pranapatista mantra for Lord Jagannath is Radha mantra, traditionally, and that the Shaina Vigraha is half Radha, half Lakshmi, half Narayan, in a golden form like Tapta Kanchan the Gaurangi, at that time when he's wearing the Bhadishingara Vesh, which is the dress for Radharani. And the greatest proof of this thing, of course, is Jagannath Ashtakam. He's always embracing Radha to his chest. And the best proof is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was worshipping him. Why would Mahaprabhu worship him if Radha is not there? So we can see that he is there. Radharani is there. She is there. But in a hidden kind of way. This is our conclusion. It's a big answer for a short question. Sorry. A whole other class. Okay. Anything else to say? Prabhuji? This is a representative of Lord Jagannath. He's asking questions from the altar.
Is that two questions? Sometimes I have difficulties to identify the Subhadrana. Sometimes Subhadrana is like the sister of Krishna and Balaram. But sometimes Subhadrana is like Durga.
She's like what? Durga.
She's Durga also. Mm. And sometimes also. also she's Lakshmi. So how can I understand this?
How can you reconcile it? Well, first of all, in case some of you are making some offense in your mind and being critical of Prabhuji and thinking, how can he think that's weird? How can he think that Subhadra is Durga and Subhadra is Lakshmi? Don't criticize him. That's what Skanda Purana says. It says that the Subhadra is Lakshmi, and Subhadra is sometimes said to be Yoga Maya. It all becomes very confusing. Many, many things can be said and need to be said about the identity of these three deities, and they all have, these four deities, including Sudarshan, they all have a very special position in connection with this Leela and how we approach them. It would take me a lot of time to properly describe this subject matter. Subhadra is, of course, Krishna and Balaram's sister, and she's the twin sister of Krishna, born from Mother Yashoda. Of course, she's Yoga Maya. But it becomes confusing how it is that in the Puranas she's also described as Lakshmi, and sometimes in the Jagannath Mandir they dress her up like Sita, when Lord Jagannath has his Ram Vesh and other things. How do we understand that? Jagannath has a special position. He's known as Avatari, or the source of all different avatars. And one of the ways that we see this is all his different veshas, different dresses, which sometimes some deities have some little different dresses, but not like Jagannath. Jagannath, he's the king of that. He really has so many different types of dresses because he's a source. He has a Nrisimha vesh, he has a Vamana vesh, he has Krishna vesh. He has so many different dresses to show that he's Avatari. This is his special mood because the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that Jagannath is a deity for Kali Yuga. It's said there that Daro Brahma, the Lord will manifest in the form of wood, is Lord Jagannath, and he'll also manifest in the form of Jala Brahma, which is the Ganga. So these two manifestations of the Lord are especially, Mahaprabhu says this, deities for Kali Yuga, Lord Jagannath and the Ganga. And a very fascinating thing about Lord Jagannath, which we tried to bring out more in a very long article we wrote in our 12th issue of Krishna Katamrita magazine, is his identity and how so many people worship him. Now we know the Gaudiya Vaishnavas worship him, but you know the Madhva Vaishnavas also do, and the Sri Vaishnavas also do, and the worshippers of Shankaracharya, the followers of Shankar, they also worship him. And the Shaivites, the worshippers of Lord Shiva, they also worship Jagannath. They have another understanding of him. Everyone has different understandings of him. The Ganapatnis, there's some followers of Ganesh who worship Jagannath, and they consider that Jagannath is Ganesh. And I know here every year, in Snan Yatra, you have a very nice dress. It's called Hati Vesh. Did you make that, Mataji? No? Very nice. I like so much when I see that. And there's a very nice story behind that. Jagannath dresses up like an elephant, like Ganesh, Hati Vesh. And the Ganapatnis worship him. You may know that. You may know that some of the Rambhaktas consider him to be Lord Ramachandra. And what many devotees don't know is that there are many Christians who also worship Jagannath in Orissa, many Orissan Christians, and there are even many Muslims. There's some villages who have Rath Yatra in Orissa, and some of the Muslims, they organize the Rath Yatra festival. And they regularly take Jagannath Mahaprasad, and they consider that to be sacred food. They're worshipping Jagannath. We've never heard of any deity, and some of you here may be devotees of Radharaman, we don't want to hurt your feelings, but we've never heard of Christians worshipping Radharaman, or Muslims worshipping Radharaman, or Shaivites, or Ganapatnis, Bhaktas, or Shaktas worshipping Radharaman, but they all worship Jagannath. So Jagannath manifests and reveals an identity to all of them, and it's different according to the person's understanding. Jayrupa Chinche Dasi Sayrupa Hoy. According to the mood of the devotee, the Lord manifests a corresponding form. That's Jagannath. And Subhadra does the same thing. So for some people, they see her like Durga or like Kali. Some people see her like Lakshmi. Some people may see her as Sita. In so many different ways. And she reciprocates and manifests those different forms. We see Jagannath Baladev Subhadra and Sudarshan in connection with the Kurukshetra Leela. And we tell all these things, and then the question naturally arises, okay, if Jagannath is Radha Krishna, but then why are Balaram and Subhadra there? It kind of spoils the whole thing. Any lady can tell you they like to be alone with their boyfriend, with their husband. Your wife likes to be alone with you. Isn't that Prabhuji? All ladies are like that. And if you tell her, dear, would you like to go on a second honeymoon and we'll go for a romantic boat cruise and this and this, and she'll be very happy. And then you tell her, and one thing, my mother will also come. How will your wife feel? Sonia, would you like that? Keshav Madhav will bring his mother also and you'll go for a nice romantic cruise. We have a saying in America, two is company, three is a crowd. Ladies won't like that. So similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's in the mood of Radha, and Radha becomes very shy when Balaram is there. So how is it that we can see, okay, I've given this elaborate explanation, Jagannath can be understood to be a combined form of Radha and Krishna, but then how is it that we understand Balaram and Subhadra's presence there? This is something to add a little spice, to add a little rasa, because this is Madanaki Mahabhav. The topmost ecstasy of Srimati Radharani is manifesting when she meets with Krishna at Kurukshetra. And she sees her Pranavallabha, the Lord of her life, Vrindavan Bihari Krishna. But there's something wrong. He's got all this gold armor on, and all this fancy dress, and there's so many soldiers with him, and his brother and sister, Balaram and Subhadra, are also there. So that creates a kind of ecstatic tension. Usually it's said, and we were mentioning this the other day, Chaitanya Charitamrita states that Aishvarja Priti Sankuchita. The nature of Aishvarja or opulence is it makes love shrunken. But in the pastime of Kurukshetra, when the residents of Vrindavan meet Krishna there, their love doesn't become shrunken when they see Krishna as a big man. Rather, it becomes enhanced. And they tell him, we don't want to see you like a big man. You come back to our village, Vrindavan. You're our homeboy, they would say, in America. Krishna's a homeboy. And you come back there. Their feelings increase. And that situation creates a kind of tension, ecstatic tension, that he's captured with the other crowd. And therefore, we said a few years ago in Burn at Rathiatra that Rathiatra means rescuing God from organized religion and bringing him to the village, the temple of our heart, which we want to make Vrindavan. We suggested that as a very simplistic definition of Rathiatra. We said that for the new people, or that they can't understand all these things we're saying. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's feeling that same mood in Jagannath Puri, which is the same mood as Kurukshetra. When Mahaprabhu has darshan of Jagannath, he's standing by the Garuda Stambha. There are several reasons for this. It's a long discussion. I won't go into all of them. But one of the primary reasons why he's doing that is because from the Garuda Stambha, he can't see Balaram or Subhadra. He only sees Jagannath. Because that's his mood. And then sometimes he sees, he's seeing Jagannath. Oh, I'm in Vrindavan. And then suddenly he moves a little bit. Oh, Balaram and Subhadra here. Oh, this is Kurukshetra. And he feels a little sadness. This is a wonderful, astonishing mellow of the worship of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. It's such a deep, variegated thing. And you can't say that the way that one person's do it in this place is right and the way they do it over here is wrong. Jagannath is reciprocating in so many different ways. But we want to know what is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our Goswamis. Is that okay? Answer your simple question about Subhadra, we give something more of an answer.
And the second topic, I was told that by some devotees, that the king of Jagannath Puri installed himself in Switzerland in the winter to Jagannath Baladev Subhadra.
Acha.
Vidyato is another city not far from here. It's only 20 minutes from here.
Wow.
So, and they presented me and showed me pictures of installation, and then the king was here also. He came with his wife and with his children.
What year was this?
Oh,
approximately.
It was maybe 5 years ago.
Sure.
So, and then they told me also, he also invited them to Jagannath Puri in his palace when they are probably going to Jagannath Puri. These two pujaris. And I was really, and they, really gave me the address of the temple in Vintyatru. Mm-hmm. He gave me the pictures, very beautiful,
oh.
Sweet Jagannath Mahadev. It's in Darshan Chakra also. And I was really amazed. And when I saw that, then I was thinking, then we have three Jagannath temples in Switzerland.
Yeah.
So, if for your information, I can go to Vasudha. Vasudha, she's also a devotee, Ishvara devotee, and she has all the contact with the king of Jagannath Puri.
I've met him a few times, Maharaj Dipasingdev. Very nice man.
Yeah.
Very, very gentle man. I have his phone number. He'll call him sometime.
Yeah.
But not like we're so close with him or something. He's a very special person. We take some permissions. I don't know if he would remember me. He might remember our magazine. I gave him some of our Jagannath magazines. Very nice man. I'm really surprised to hear this. It's a wonderful story. I didn't know he established deities here. Thank you. Oh, I would love that. Maybe Krishna Kuna and I can get some chance over here. But did you have some comment?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Anything else to say? I think it's a little late. Okay. Maybe the devotee should take some prasad. We'll have another class today, I guess at 4:00. Is that right, Prabhuji? And that class is going to be, we're going to release our new book today. And if you're lucky, you may be able to get a copy. Called When Good Fortune Arises. The class will be something about that subject matter, about the life and teachings of Gauravinda Maharaj. And we'll speak something philosophically, I think, mostly about the principle behind the book and maybe some pastimes and things from the book itself also. 4:00. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Jagannath Baladev Srimati Subhadramai Sudarshan Ju Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Vamsha Kapada Rubhischa Sundabhyevacha Paritanam Bhavani Vivashani. Please return these song books to me. I need them. We will call the police if you don't. Thank you.